The Men's Room presents Profile This.
And Stephen Thrill-Hill, could you please tell everyone how Profile This is played?
Oh, sure can, Miles. It's a simple game where we share with you a real-life news story. Something that happened right here on planet Earth. Earth. And as you listen to the story, based on the stereotypes you believe to be true of people and the decisions that people make, we'll ask you what it is you think makes the story a story. All right, our caller Chris has dropped off the line.
Come on, Chris.
I know, Chris sucks. Gentlemen, the three of you will be competing against one another, and today you have your choice of one of three categories. So today we offer you Bite Me. In other words, what did someone find in their food? Interior decorating, where you guess the foreign object that ended up on the inside of someone. And finally today, seriously, where you guess the petty conflict that led to violence.
Based on the question, let's go interior decorating.
Doing it in the mud. How are we going to floor?
I'm going to do Limp Bizkit now.
I did it all for the cookie. Come on, the cookie. So you can take that cookie. All right, so we go to Florida.
Doggone it.
Well, Palm Beach Road has my favorite night of karaoke. I think you know this one.
Come on.
A Palm Bay woman was arrested over the weekend after she was caught with something hidden in her vagina. This is at a traffic stop. Now, the woman identified as, oddly enough, 30-year-old Reagan Cox. She'd been pulled over and arrested on a charge of resisting without violence. This was Saturday morning. But when she was being processed at the jail, the scanner caught, quote, an abnormality in her jail purse. Now, corrections deputies, they moved Cox to a change room where she was observed trying to cover her butt with her hand. But after moving her hand, something dropped to the floor. So once the object dropped to the floor, Cox uttered that she didn't know anything about it. Someone must have put it in there during an intimate encounter. Well, in spite of that compelling argument, Cox now faces an additional charge of introducing contraband into a detention facility. The question is, what did she have stashed in her hoo-ha that someone must have put there? Was it a gun? Was it fentanyl? Was it cocaine or was it cash? So gun, fentanyl, cocaine, or cash, what did she have in the hoo-ha?
I don't know how I got there.
Should I just put you down for gun?
Yes.
You know where I'm going.
I know that. Little 22 or 9mm.
I'm gonna go Mike. Shotgun. Mike, I'm gonna go cocaine.
That's where I was thinking. You know, so I'll take you on. I'll go fentanyl.
Fentanyl. Okay. What's the point of drugs if you don't have a weapon, boys?
What did she have stashed in her purse? There was it a gun, fentanyl, cocaine, or cash? We'll find out next.
That was a tease.
You are listening to The Men's Room.
The debauchery rolls on. You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Categories: interior decorating on Profile This. We had a Florida woman who was arrested, and she had something hidden there in her skin whistle, but it fell out as she was being booked. Yeah. Question is, was it a gun, fentanyl, cocaine, or cash?
And that's a great question that I pose to you, gentlemen. We'll start with Mike. You went with fentanyl.
Yeah, I'm afraid. Come on.
Skin whistle?
Yeah. Not fentanyl.
Damn it, man.
Nate Dead Smith, you went with gun because you're not always going gun. To. And not a gun.
Try harder, ladies.
The Miles, you went with cocaine.
I did.
All right. That is correct.
Yeah.
Didn't even know it was there.
How about
she didn't
that?
Know, huh?
Didn't even what? Know.
It's falling from
it
the sky.
It just fell out. She's like, oh, man.
It was somebody else's hiding place.
How about that? Because when I have sex, men hide their drugs in me.
Paris Hilton's. Now for all TV news all the time, it's time for TV Time with Ted.
And now, because your pathetic life is confined to countless hours in front of a talking box, The Men's Room presents TV Time with Ted.
Ah. All right. Did anybody in here besides me watch Yellowstone?
No.
No.
What about Landman?
No, it's Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah. What about Lamb Man?
Lamb Man, I would watch, but no.
Lamb Man.
Lamb Man.
The mint jelly.
All right. Well, both those shows were created by Tyler Sheridan. He also wrote The Madison. So basically, I was watching an interview with him, right?
All right.
So first, he was an actor, and he was on Sons of Anarchy. All right. And then after, like, the second season, he was saying, he's like, well, I'm not coming back because you guys pay me, like, scale. Sure. He's like, I'm looking at the other actors, like, the star, they're making this much money. He's like, I'm on the show a lot. And he said he starts looking around. And seeing the people making the real money were, like, writing the shows or whatever. So that's how he starts writing shows. Now, listen, I like Yellowstone. I like Landman. I know people have made it kind of political.
It doesn't like, have to be.
It doesn't have to be.
That's what not, people do.
Right. The only thing I will always say about Yellowstone is that people miss the goddamn point. A lot of that show was about saving the Dutton Ranch and not having development.
Right.
And then all these people saw the show, and now they all moved to Billings. And it's like...
And the people that actually live there are like, guys,
just want to get away from it all.
Right, like, that was great. That was kind of the show. There's a very good Instagram account. What's it? Hipsters of Billings.
Hipsters.
And look, I'm not a cowboy. I have a cowboy hat, but I don't fiend being or fake being a cowboy.
We know.
Right?
And if you do, you do it terribly.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I'm a cowboy.
Well, when I was in Portland, I was wearing my poncho shirt and my cowboy hat, and this woman was talking to me. She's like, "You must have been to the country show." And I was like, "What's that, ma'am?" And she goes, and she's like all dressed up in cowgirl gear. She's like, "Aren't you here for the concert?" And I literally turned to her and went, "I'm just cosplaying a cowboy."
Oh. Was she disappointed?
You folded that easy, Ted.
Well, she also had a boyfriend, so I was like, there's no reason to keep faking. Oh. Right? But she
why,
can't.
So why were you dressed as a cowboy?
I wasn't. I just had on like a polo, a poncho, like button up that's burnt orange, like Texas.
Okay.
Then my cowboy hat, but I was sitting at a bar. So they couldn't see that, like, I'm just wearing shorts and Air Maxes. Like, I'm not wearing boots. Right. So they just came over and I was kind of, I'll just say altered. So I just kind of went, ma'am.
And oh, I mean, my God.
Right. And I got in one more, like, cowboy term. And then she really got into it, like, me and my husband or boyfriend, I was like, I'm just cosplaying.
Howdy, how'd he lasso you there, Philly?
Basically, right?
Hey there, buttercup.
That's right.
So anyhow, he wrote these shows. And people get on him or whatever. But I like he just said, like, he doesn't care about winning Emmys. He'd rather tell heartfelt stories. He says, I'm pretty common. And I like to tell stories that common people are going to understand. That's most of America. My goal is to sit somebody on their couch and move them, make them think, make them laugh, scare the crap out of them, excite them. That's what I want to do because that's what I want from a show. So
he's obviously done that.
Yeah.
He's done a great job.
No, I mean, Yellowstone was great. I mean, you know, when it got towards the end, like any show, it gets a little ridiculous.
Of course.
Also, I like that he just blatantly talks about he rage baits his critics. I don't care what they think. It annoys the crap out of me. I don't care. F them, honestly.
Go. Yeah.
All right.
Go for him.
Honestly, that's what your art should be. You know, you make it for yourself. Make it something that you're going to enjoy, something that entertains you, and then put it out there. And if the other people enjoy it, bam, there you go.
Well, that's what you can always tell. Because like I said, in October, they'll start releasing all the movies they hope get nominated for Oscars, right? That's just time, and it's tradition. But it always amazes me how many directors and or actors get pissed that the movie didn't get nominated. Like, that's why you're making the movie? Like, why don't you do it for joy? You might be surprised how people respond to it.
Put your passion into it.
Well, the other problem is that, again, outside of sports, almost any award is kind of objective.
It absolutely is.
You know what I mean? It's up to these people to decide whether you're art or this or that. Or you know what I mean? Like, I still think the Oscars should have a comedy category. That's
1,000%.
You know, absolutely. But they don't. I mean, it's like you look at The Rock. Like, that's a very successful movie star. He's not in stuff that's going to... Actually, I really liked
Smashing Machine.
And critics liked it. Just people just didn't like it.
Sure.
So like, right. Like he's probably never going to win an Oscar, but it's like the guy banks, you know, people go see his movie.
But like in the world of Rotten Tomatoes, right? A lot of times you see the critic review, like 25%. Audience review is 87%. If I'm a director or actor, the audience is what I care about. And there's nothing against critics. You have a job to do. We understand that. But you're wholly irrelevant to an enterprise that's out to make money, right? So Star Wars got panned by critics. And maybe it hurt George Lucas's feelings, but now he owns the world that you live on. So it's like, look, if I'm on that, like, I don't care what the critics think. You care what the audience thinks because you're making whatever you're making for the audience.
But also, if you're a critic, okay, your job is to be critical of someone else's art.
Sure.
You're not making art.
Right.
So the person who makes the art, one way or another, they should feel good about themselves because someone cares enough to think it's important enough to judge what they do.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's the same with food critics, right?
Sure.
Like, you know, it's like we always joke around about asking a waiter what their favorite dish is. It's like, well, that waiter might have a completely different palate in what they like than you do.
Yes.
You know? But I get it. People ask. But yeah, like food critics sometimes, it's like, you know, if you want to go eat at La Fonte's, go ahead.
They're grilled scallop. They know how to cook. It's not freaking hard. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, there was a restaurant on Capitol Hill I went to once, and everybody kept raving about it and stuff. And I was like, it's good. It charged me $25 for 3 whole chicken wings.
But I think sometimes it must be good.
Better than Dunk.
It wasn't.
Oh.
You could hear, you could see it in my body language and hear me saying, like, I was like, all right, I don't get it.
Whatever.
Whatever.
Was it a one-page menu?
It was.
Yeah.
Of course.
That's what you know.
The only good thing is the guy that makes the burgers, my brother's friend, my friend too, James, he was with us.
Okay.
Yeah, played credit card roulette, and he got it.
Oh.
Thrill? Miles?
What?
You got World Cup fever yet?
It's starting to grow. My temperature has gone up. I will say that.
Miles? You can't walk into a bar in my neighborhood without it being on, and if you ask for the Mariners, people get pissed off.
No, I've been watching it, man. I've been enjoying it. It's been great. You should have been telling me about it, Ted.
I know.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe when it got to knockout round or something, but like I have absolutely been watching.
The Heat gets turned up a little bit.
The Heat definitely does.
Well,
the games aren't nearly as going to be as friendly with the other fan groups, too, because you are in the knockout stage now. So it's, you know, it's do or die.
I thought the Mexico match last night was fairly boring. Mexico scored early and then just kind of sat back and said, you know what, we're just going to hang out.
Yeah, Ecuador just, honestly.
They brought nothing to the
credit team. To the Mexicans. Mexico looked good last night. They just overmatched Ecuador.
That's what I saw.
And
I
Ecuador just could not pass. And Mexico, I feel like, and within 10 minutes, Mexico said, man, they can't, or they're lazy with passing. That's the way to put it. It's not a lack of accuracy. It's a lack of urgency. Mexico cut off, like, every freaking pass they had. And that's when I started saying, this game's going to go out of hand when you can't just pass the ball. And these are routine passes.
And Estadio Azteca in Mexico City is one of the most just daunting places to go and play.
I think Ecuador would agree with that.
Right. As Americans, we know that because we got to play them in Gold Cup and all these, you know, World Cup qualifying. But for the Mexicans to be playing there in that stadium, which has some of the most famous, you know, that's where the hand of God happened.
Mm-hmm.
Just unbelievable stuff. Hot off the presses, too. Sunday, you have the English going down to Mexico City to play the Mexicans.
That's going
to
be insane. That's going to be insane.
I rarely say this, but viva la Mexico. Like, get me a michelada.
What type of food are you making this time?
Well,
I think you should go Mexican.
You making enchiladas?
I'm doing, mushy peas and fish and chips.
Yes. Mushy peas and guac? Maybe a little michelada and some fish and chips.
Little Ortega sauce.
You have to guess which one's the guac and which one's the mushy peas because they look very similar.
But that'll be a wild match. So basically, the study here took into accountability about beer prices, water prices, hotel rooms, blah blah blah, and mosquito risk. And they ranked the top World Cup stadiums.
Ooh, all right.
Out of 12, bottom of the list, you have SoFi Stadium in Inglewood.
See, it looks beautiful on television.
Right. I think that, and we got hurt because of just prices.
Yeah. I mean, that's the beginning and end of it.
I will say, shout out to the Scottish. Everybody was impressed when they were, like, doing their marches through Boston and everything. Those bastards marched through Inglewood.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's because they just don't know.
No.
Told them, right, that I'd been like, hey, maybe we go.
But I don't think they would have cared.
Yeah, probably.
There's a lot of parts of Scotland that are not. Yeah.
Yeah. They're very proud, very brave people.
Yeah. Scotland, that's brave, what I was going to say. Like, I think that's an agreement where everybody's like, what are they doing in the neighborhood? Then went, ah.
What are the F they want?
Yeah. You know what I mean? That's one of those. Like, those are two kind of tough fan bases.
Oh, yeah.
Inglewood in general.
Bring it.
Next on there, you have NRG Stadium in Houston.
Is that just the Heat?
It could.
Well, it's indoor.
Okay.
I mean, I saw the national title game there. It's a beautiful stadium.
Sure.
Well, I'm also going to assume it's very spread out. So
everything in Houston spread out.
So it's just probably not walkable, convenient.
Oh, God, no. I can't tell you how long it took us to get from downtown Houston out to that stadium.
God,
there wasn't even that much traffic because we went early.
Everything's very spread out there.
Yeah, and there was almost a tornado.
Ugh.
I mean, it was rough.
Look out!
MetLife Stadium in New Jersey. Now, unfortunately, the World Cup final is there. Everybody almost agrees, American-wise, like, that's the worst stadium.
It's the worst stadium, it's the biggest market.
I know, but it's so far away.
Mm.
And then you add on top of it, it just has no personality.
No.
You know, like, Lumen Field has personality. You know what I mean? Like, the overhangs and stuff. It was designed for soccer and football. Like, everybody, like, just goes,
it's Jersey. It's just Jersey.
And it looks
the perfect definition of Jersey.
It is.
It's where Seattle won their first Super Bowl, so it's good enough for me.
Yeah, that's a good point. The Link in Philly comes in at 8. Then you have AT&T Stadium in Arlington.
Yeah.
Number 6 on the list, this is the ranking of the World Cup stadiums. Hard Rock Stadium in Miami.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah, because you're in Miami.
Miami knows how to do it, right?
They do. Look, I was just down there for that F1 race in May. Miami is fun. They make everything a party. But I kind of agree with the Scots. Like, outside of sporting events, like, Miami's just not my town.
Okay.
Now, when you were in Miami having a good time, were you mostly in South Beach?
We were in Brickell.
I don't know where that is.
Brickell's kind of like the second, like, if South Beach is like the main hotspot.
Yeah.
Brickell's like the second big one.
Okay. I mean, so that makes sense.
So you're kind of in a little bit. But like, for instance, like Salt Bay has a restaurant there.
I got you. But it's like we always say, people, what they picture Miami, that is South Beach. Miami is Detroit with palm trees.
Ah.
Yeah.
I will say the best, I mean, the race was awesome. And it's by the stadium. And they do a good job because you can walk through the paddock. But the coolest thing was McLaren did like a free event down on the waterfront in Miami Gardens. That was so cool. All right. Then you have Levi Stadium in Santa Clara.
I can't believe it's that high.
Home of the Super Bowl champs, Seattle Seahawks.
I'm surprised they let him play down there, man. You know, the electric current out there is going to just screw up the players.
Yeah. Then Lumen Field in Seattle. We come in fourth. I thought we'd be number one.
But we're ahead of San Francisco, so I'm happy.
We always are, Mike.
Ayo.
Then you have Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, yeah. Georgia.
That's got to be prices.
Well, it's a nice stadium, but that one ranked up high. All the World Cup, they're just like, Atlanta, we can afford
stuff. Atlanta does a new stadium every 3 years.
That's so better. Nice. Yeah.
But now, they have the Chick-fil-A's open.
Here's one that boggles my mind. Arrowhead.
Really?
Number two.
Listen, the stadium, when you're inside, I thought was cool. It is not close to a goddamn thing.
But the environment during a Chiefs game is awesome. So I got to imagine that if you get enough fans all together cheering for the same thing.
And it's loud.
They're the one that beat us for the volume.
So, and it's massive. The price, it's Kansas City. It's got to be cheap.
Yeah.
And then number one, they put Gillette Stadium up there in Foxborough.
Hmm. Okay.
All right.
Yeah. I'm with the Patriots.
Yeah. I don't know what anybody else is doing tonight. I'm going to watch this Bosnia-Herzegovina.
Playing tonight?
They are. They're playing a little country called the United States of America. Oof.
Very good. Thank you, Tim. We appreciate it. You're listening to The Men's Room.
The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill. Now, let's see what's happening in the real world.
All right, here we go. Kmart is now selling a blow-up T-Rex that really wants inflated. Meanwhile, because of bad hygiene, nerds in Oregon are totally devastated. A bride's sister ruins her wedding day by giving birth. New Jersey man who killed two teens will now find out what his ass is worth. And today's rescued animal is a dog found 1,000 miles from home. It is time for your headlines.
Now, it's time to hit the headlines. Here's my car.
All right, top three. We're going to Oregon, where a tournament had to be suspended. I completely wrote that wrong. We go to Oregon, where a tournament had to be
Oregano?
Suspended. Oregano? Oregano. A game store in Beaverton was set to host a Yu-Gi-Oh! Trading card game tournament, but had to postpone the event due to some complaints. Thankfully, they give us an explanation. As they recently posted an announcement on their Discord server, quote, "We regret to inform you that there will be a one-week suspension on our local events. We have had issues with people mistreating the restrooms and multiple bad reviews because of poor hygiene."
Is anyone shocked by that?
No. As a reminder, we
love playing this game.
Did you read the rest of that? Where, like, Pokemon and Magic the Gathering, those tournaments already have those rules and stipulations, yes, in place for the exact same thing.
Yes. Konami, the company that owns the card game, as well as the other ones that Miles mentioned, issued their guidelines last year that addresses the subject of hygiene, stating that anyone neglecting to wash or put on clean clothes contributes to an unpleasant atmosphere at the event, stating that those found to be negatively impacting the tournament due to their lack of self-care will be asked to correct the issue for the tournament to continue.
My guess is they smell like when you don't take your laundry out of the washing machine and you leave it in for like days.
But I would say also armpits.
Yeah.
Right. I think it's both of those things. But would you say mistreat a bathroom? That tells me your diet of Red Bull and Doritos has an adverse effect on the aroma that escapes out of it.
And I'm not going to lie, dude. I find myself doom scrolling from time to time, and I catch videos that are satire of what people go through when they get in there. And of course, it's caricaturized and whatnot.
Sure.
The comments are full of people saying, this is not an exaggeration.
I mean, obviously it's not, man.
People like that, they'll just crap themselves as a defense mechanism. Like, now you can't think straight. Like,
yeah. I mean, look, stereotypes exist for a reason.
Yeah. And it's...
That's all. This is not helping their cause. I picture all of them looking like comic book guy from The Simpsons.
Yeah.
And there's no need for me to take a shower.
Right. And of course, it's not everybody, but you know that guy.
If you're in these tournaments... people that it stinks that
bad. Right. If you're in these tournaments, you know that guy. I ended up behind one of them. Lady and I, we went to a WWE event. And I understand that those people, they can get that way. There was some dude. I always call him Wolfman because for whatever reason, they have that shirt that's got the wolf that's howling at the moon.
Of course, yeah.
They got the long hair. And I walked behind this guy going to my seat, and I distinctly picked him out by his smell because it was such a funk that would not quit. I veer off of this guy because I can't sit in his draft any longer. I eventually get out around him. I got to hit the head before we go sit down. I get in there, and I'm underway at the urinal. I don't see anybody. I know Wolfman is in here now. There's that aura.
And this is a public bathroom.
This is a public bathroom. And there's a lot of smells in the bathroom. You've been at a public event where everybody's going. There's a few guys that are in the stalls taking care of business, so there's smells in there. I knew Wolfman was in there, and sure enough, I got to wash my hands like, there he is.
I knew you were in it.
Shower!
Like, I'm playing on stereotypes. Plus, like, look, it's not like I wash my jeans after everywhere, but you got to wash them sometime.
At some point.
And if I'm going to go to a public gathering, I'm probably going to put on my best stuff. Not nicest, just the freshest.
Well, clean.
Horrible story out of New Jersey as two teenage girls were run down. An 18-year-old man told a terrifying story of driving through a neighborhood one day when he was carjacked by an unknown assailant in a red mask wielding a knife. He gave up his car, but only found it later after it was found at the scene of a murder in which two 17-year-old girls were intentionally hit and killed while riding an e-bike. Jesus. Luckily, justice will be served as authorities were able to check the dash cam that was installed in the vehicle, showing that our man never got carjacked at all, and he ran over the girls himself.
Jesus, man.
He was 17 as well at the time of the murder, but luckily he's since turned 18, and the case is going to adult courts, where he is facing charges of first-degree murder.
Did he know them?
That's what I wondered. Because they talked about how the dash cam footage showed him passing them, turning around and coming back.
Jesus.
So
that is evil.
I'm wondering if he knew them, if there was some sort of run-in. He looks like somebody that might have a bad encounter with somebody.
I'm still trying to think what event has happened between me and someone else. And there's people I do not like that I would turn my car around to run them down.
I think it was he liked her or one of the two girls.
That's what
one
I'm
of those
wondering.
Deals.
Yeah,
God,
yeah.
That's
young love gone wrong.
That's sure what it felt like to me. There's no evidence in the story to suggest that other than what you just can see from people,
sure.
And what you can kind of glean by stereotyping the looks of these folks. But I'm with Miles. That's kind of where I got.
Also, that guy's family's all law enforcement, so he thought he could get away with it.
Yes,
But yes, he didn't think about a dash cam.
No. Nah, too much. Too much. Sibling rivalry never ends, and that's put on full display in a story out of North Carolina. A woman got a call from her sister informing her that she was engaged in planning a wedding, wanting her to be the matron of honor, which the woman accepted. Fast forward a short bit, the woman then learns that she and her husband are pregnant with their second child, but the problem came to the due date, which was within a couple days of her sister's wedding. They put it out in the universe that all would go well and that she would be able to enjoy both days separately, and she did, as the wedding day came and still no baby. The morning of the wedding, the woman woke up to her water breaking. And she had to call and tell her sister that she wasn't going to be able to make it. Luckily, the bride was understanding about the situation.
I would hope so.
And gave no grief. Got a reward of her own as the baby was named after the bride, who shares an anniversary with the bride.
Right. Yeah, my wife gave birth on the day, for our oldest, the day of her brother's wedding. Again, to be fair, she told me that would happen when we were conceiving the child. I believe I was mid-thrust. And
damn,
I'm not
it.
Making this up. She's like,
she's just doing math.
If I get pregnant, she can be born on November 13th. That's my brother's wedding date. And at the time, I'm like, babe, shut up. This is ridiculous.
Why is that on your brain?
You're right.
Turns out, the kid was born, which made it weird because her mom kept calling me at the hospital from the wedding, not the reception.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, pay attention to your son. When we have news to share, we will tell you.
That's really ironic. I'm thinking of your brother's wife.
Just in case those stories of bad taste in your mouth.
Thankfully, there's good news.
We go to Florida where our family's back together again. A local family came to the awful realization not being able to find their 13-year-old Shih Tzu that had snuck through a gate and was officially missing. They searched for a while, holding out hope that he would wander his way back home, and after nearly 2 months, they got a phone call. An animal shelter said that he had been found outside of a police station, and they scanned his microchip. That's when both parties got to learn that he had traveled 1,000 miles up to New York.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, he went back home for the winter.
Apparently, he was also sporting a tag with the name Yuri, and a Facebook post was found from someone on Long Island that the family believes shows their dog in the photo. A police report was filed, though they were told no crime had occurred. Now the senior dog is back home and meeting a new family members that arrived in his absence.
Oh, I'm sure he'll love that.
That dog totally got nabbed.
They put a new tag on him?
They did.
Yeah.
His name's Yuri.
This is Yuri. Men's Room Sports. You got more World Cup coverage on Fox as well as baseball on ESPN. The final match between the Mariners and the Angels will take place tomorrow evening instead of this afternoon. Probably because there was a game earlier this afternoon downtown and we just don't want to combat that.
Yeah.
As far as your weather, overcast and a low of 55 tonight. Tomorrow should be cloudy with a high of 65. That is it for headlines with that. Mike Hawk is out.
Hey, sir. Appreciate it. Head chef, you go grilling tomorrow or things you should not grill.
Things you should never grill.
With Ted's Meat of Toast.
Including children.
Of course, the game Big Dummy as well. Lovely Jolene coming up here in just seconds.
Yes, indeed. It's all true, but in the meantime, well, we be all about this bitch. So until tomorrow, please do what you do best. And for Aletha's sake, stay beautiful.
The Men's Room has been taped before a live studio audience. Wardrobe and makeup provided by Mantastic Limited. This has been a presentation of the Men's Room Radio Network.
Oh, man!
A Double Flush production.